Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday, and the Packers are back out on the practice field. That's right. Earlier today, they were out there running around and then into the locker room where intrepid reporters tried to find quotes for stories that are probably half written already. But you got to get those quotes, people. And, you know, I know a big matchup coming up on Sunday. No question about it. The 49ers reeling, trying to get their season back on track. The Packers escaping Chicago, but sitting pretty at 7-3. Decent chances to make the playoffs, but it can all fall apart real quick. As we all know, it's the National Football League, not for long. 49ers are going to be a stiff test, and I think obviously a big component here is going to be the health of the two teams. Green Bay, relatively healthy. Now, the one down note there is Jaire Alexander did not participate in practice today. Coach was asked, obviously, and he said they'll give him the week. Well, they've given him the week many times before, and that usually means he's probably not going to play on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if they shut him down at some point. I just can't imagine that trying to come back from this ankle injury and then not being able to go. It's not fair to Jaire, and it certainly isn't fair to a defense that has to put a game plan together and execute it on Sunday, knowing or not knowing whether Jaire is going to be there. So we'll see how that kind of transpires here throughout the week. But other than that, Packers are almost a picture of health, which I know is very crazy and weird to say about the Green Bay Packers mid-November, but a pretty damn healthy group. Now you flip it around and you look at the 49ers injury report today is pretty tough. They got some real big names there, whether it's Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, lots of guys who, you know, I think they'll give them the week. I do know that George Kittle was in the locker room today saying, even though he's on the injury report with a hamstring injury, he plans on playing on Sunday. He's not going to miss an opportunity to play against the Packers, which, shout out, man, you know a big rivalry when you see one. And he always plays really well against Green Bay, so of course he wants to play. I believe Trent Williams will most likely play, and I'm pretty certain Brock Purdy will play. I think the big question mark is Bosa, and I think it makes a obvious monster difference whether he is or isn't out there. We know they are an insanely effective team rushing the passer when he is on the field. Take him off the field, the Packers could do some real damage, because I do think, even though they have gotten a bit healthier there, the Packers can take advantage of their secondary. But that's a Wednesday sentence. We'll see what actually transpires on Sunday as far as who is on the football field for the San Francisco 49ers. But I'm just excited because I think the Packers finally have a fully armed and operational offense. The idea that Jordan Love is coming off a game where he looked as healthy as he's looked all season long, totally in command of an offense that moved up and down the field against a very good defense. Yes, they short-circuited in the red zone way too many times. Funnily enough, they got a bit of a mirror image across the field this week in the San Francisco 49ers, who have also been pretty tough to watch in the red zone. I do think there's a, you know, obviously each and every week the red zone is important, but I think whichever team is able to maybe hopefully overcome some of those issues in the red zone this week is going to be coming out of Sunday victorious, because I believe the 49ers ranking somewhere like 26th, 27th, somewhere on there in the league. That's terrible. And the Packers have been equally terrible. So no doubt, I think both teams will be able to move the ball. A big part of this is who's going to be able to pull the trigger in the red zone and convert into touchdowns instead of field goals. But yeah, with the Packers offense, I believe you're going to see a group that is really humming on Sunday, regardless of what the 49ers are doing on defense. I'm not taking anything away from them. They're a very talented team. But this is a team in Green Bay that I think is ready to hit its stride. And I think that starts, I think it started in Soldier Field. It's going to continue and really jumpstart Sunday in Lambeau. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up. Chuck is here talking about Leroy Butler picking the 49ers 28-17. He was right about the Lions, though. Well, you know, Leroy, he's trying to keep it real. But you know in his heart, he thinks the Packers are going to win. Come on, he's got to make it like look like he's an objective journalist there for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but we all know where his heart is. Before we get going, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdraws, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. There's a link in the description of this video for you to sign up. Remember to use code CHTV. Spend $5, get $50 instantly. Send me your lineups. Lots of people are. It's a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk to you all about it this weekend at the Cheesehead TV meetup. That's right. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, the information for this annual meetup that has just become such a great tradition. Each and every one of you cannot wait to see you in person Saturday evening. The information is on your respective pages. Make sure you check it out. What's up, everybody? How we doing? We got a couple super chats starting us off with Alex. What's up, man? Run the ball. Not sure if it was mentioned before, but per The Athletic, the Packers are 5-0 when running the ball in the red zone at least 60% of the time, and 6-0 when Josh Jacobs and company see 25 or more rushing attempts. Go Pack, go. I mean, there's causation, and then there's, you know, kind of checking boxes, and I'm not sure one specifically means the other is going to happen. However, you have come to the right place, sir, if you want to talk about running the football. I mean, need I say more? I very much agree. The better they are in the run game, especially down in the red zone, the better off they're going to be. I do think every once in a while, Matt gets a little too cute, i.e. the Jaden Reed end around this past weekend. But I also don't think it's just as simple as, well, just keep pounding Jacobs into the line. We saw that come up short a couple times against the Bears, right? But I do think the more you can run the football in the red area, the better off you're going to be, giving yourself easier, quote-unquote, opportunities rather than incomplete passes that, you know, essentially set you one play back, whereas you could have been making forward progress, getting closer to the goal line. There's no doubt they need to continue the clean sheet they had as far as holding penalties, false starts, things of that nature that have kind of wrecked a lot of red zone opportunities this season. You did see an illegal man downfield with Elton Jenkins. That's no fault of Elton's. It's a timing play. You're supposed to have the ball out of your hand, but Jordan double clutches because it's an RPO. He doesn't like it, and they get the penalty. So they have to stay on schedule. That, to me, is bigger than whether you run or pass. I think number one is you've got to stay on schedule. You cannot take negative plays once you get into the red zone, especially against the 49ers. You saw that bite them last year in the playoff game. They moved the ball very well. And did convert a couple of times in the red zone, but the 49ers also got them a couple of times, and that was the difference in the game. Rick Harris, what's up, man? Quay Walker should be benched. Random Packer, Spencer Havener. Spencer Havener shout out. I like it. No, I disagree that he should be benched. I think he should be utilized differently. I always say it. I'm going to keep saying it till I'm in an old folks home, but all players have value, and Quay has value. And he has things that he can help you and do. And I do not doubt for a moment he can still offer something for this defense. But he 1,000,000,000% shouldn't be playing 100% of the snaps at the Mike linebacker spot. Now there we're in agreement. Josh, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. I love you, Josh Jacobs. That's all. Go Pack, go. Give shout out to Josh Jacobs. I like it. Simatovich, what's going on, man? Hey, weirdo, take your bow. You knew the outcome. Okay, I know this is obviously in reference to Joe Douglas and the Jets parting ways and my continued somewhat one-sided feud with Pat McAfee. I say that because he doesn't know who I am from Adam, but I know there's been enough people who've tweeted at him about me that he has called me a weirdo, etc. Look, man, I don't ever want to take a victory lap over someone getting fired. I got to think that sucks for the guy. I'm sure Joe Douglas, and I've talked to people, I've never met him, but I've talked to people who know him, say he's a good dude, no question about it. You know, he's working for the worst owner in the NFL. It's hard, man. It's a hard gig. So I know a lot of that is about McAfee and how he was dismissive of Ryan Gutekunst. For that, I will say, I mean, I was right, you were wrong, Pat. But I know Pat will never see that, so it's fine. It's all good. Thomas, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. It's not always the days that we win, but days like yesterday, where we see the ineptitude of other franchises, mainly the Jets, that I'm proud to be a Packers fan. Thomas, you could not have said that better. I think 1,000,000,000%. It's less schadenfreude, right? And more thankfulness that we do root for a franchise that knows what the hell they're doing. Now, that doesn't mean they make every right call. It doesn't mean they're infallible. But man, do they have it figured out when it comes to how to operate or a way of operating. It's not the only way, but it's a way, and it's been successful, and they've won a boatload of football games. I know it's frustrating they haven't won a championship since 2010. I would never say I would much rather have the Jets situation or the Browns situation or, you know, even the Bears situation. You know what I mean? Like, the Packers are run really well, and I'm very, very happy that they're my favorite team. And you look around the league and you see, like you said, a lot of incompetence. It's good to know the people in charge in Green Bay at least know what the fuck they're doing. Again, doesn't mean they're always right, but they know what the fuck they're doing. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Pack scored 20 Sunday in 23 minutes of possession time. Would have been more if Love doesn't airmail that one and if Matt LaFleur kicks the field goal. They are close. Yeah, I mean, look, I know a lot of people, including myself, got on a mat about going for it there. I get it's like basically a toss-up in most analytic circles. I just think old-school football, you're on the road, take the points, right? And plus, there's like over 11 minutes remaining in the game. There's a long way to go. That's a lot of ball game left. So I understood his reasoning. Like you're pointing out, they didn't have a ton of possessions. He wasn't sure how many more they have in the game. So I get the aggressiveness there. And yeah, absolutely. Jordan took at least three, if not 6 points off the board with that interception. I've said it all week. They've moved the ball all day on that team. There was one possession, the second possession, where they punted. Shout out Danny Whelan for that awesome coffin corner punt. But outside of that possession, the Bears didn't stop them. The Packers stopped themselves. I mean, that's not just look at the tape. Look at the drives. I mean, that was 100%. Peter, what are Kyle Shanahan's weaknesses? Well, if you listen to the local 49ers media, apparently it's not allowing his quarterback to audible. It's just funny to me that this is exploding into some kind of drama in San Francisco when the Green Bay media and Matt LaFleur hashed all this out his first year on the job because Aaron Rodgers liked to audible all the time. And so we had to have the back and forth and are there audibles in your offense or whatever? I don't know. But Kyle's weaknesses, I mean, not being able to close the deal. How many times has he either been a play caller or a head coach play caller in a Super Bowl or a big game where his penchant for wanting to throw the ball around the yard or not try and take time off the clock and play conservatively and be aggressive has cost his team games and has cost his team championships? That's not made up. You know, I'm not telling tales out of school there. That's just everyone's seen it, you know? So how does that apply to Sunday? I'm not entirely sure. Maybe if they have a lead late, he keeps trying to throw it and the Packers take advantage of that somehow, but I think he's one of the best in the business. I really do. And I understand that sometimes when you've been covering a team or if you've been a fan of a team with a coach for a long time, you get maybe a little tired and a little kind of, what is it? A routine sets in that you get, you know, kind of grinds your gears a little bit after a couple of years, but man, I don't think there's any doubt if he was let go by the 49ers, he'd have a job the next day in any number of NFL cities signing him up, you know? So weaknesses, what I mentioned before, and not seemingly being able to find a good compliment at defensive coordinator. Those are his weaknesses. Mimsy. Rodgers 2025 gig, Jets GM or RFK deputy? Man, can I just say, with all of my heart, I don't care. I truly do not care. Shout out if he retires. Shout out if he plays. Shout out if he goes into politics. Man, whatever he wants to do, it's entirely up to him. I don't care. I'll see him whenever he retires and they retire his number in Green Bay. I'll undoubtedly make the trek and be there for the ceremony because he is one of the all-time greats in the franchise. But outside of that, I just don't care. Ed, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. So tired of the 49ers beating us at Lambeau. So this Sunday win will be greatly appreciated. I hear you, man. I'm just sick and tired of the 49ers winning, period, against the Packers. I mean, you are probably old enough, Ed, to remember when the Packers had the 49ers number. That has all switched around, and I am totally sick of it, which is why I say this Sunday is the start. This is the time for the Jordan Love-led Packers to switch the tide. turn the tide in this Packers 49ers rivalry. You know, it is time. They have owned us for way too long now. This Sunday is the beginning of it. You know, they had the chance there in the playoff game on their turf this past January, but at home, 49ers kind of reeling, Packers coming off a dramatic victory, hopefully hitting their stride on offense. Let's go. Let's take it to them. I'm over it. Ryan Willie, what's up, man? Honorary Packer, Woody Johnson. I'll have my popcorn ready for that clown show. Woody Johnson, man. Worst owner in sports. I mean, I'd extend it out of the NFL. Worst owner in sports. Joe, what's up, man? Will Goop bring in Joe Douglas as a consultant? Doubtful. Very, very, very doubtful. What else we got? Oh, Eden, this is precious. I've had roughly two miserable seasons in my lifetime as a Packers fan. Ah, youth. I've had a few more than that. I love it. Oh, that's a good question, Merc. I don't know off the top of my head. How many numbers have been retired in Green Bay? It's low. I know that. I want to say it's like 7, 8, somewhere around there. It's not a ton. Like, lots of other teams have a bunch, but the Packers intentionally keep that number low. Let's see. Nathan, what's up, man? Now, speaking of Quay, this isn't the first time we've seen coach having players playing out of position. Why do you think that happens? Well, look, you can only do so much as a coaching staff when you're given what you're given by the personnel people. Like, do not doubt for a moment that they would prefer to have a classic inside backer, but they don't have one. So they're making do with what's on offer. You know, Quay's playing out of position, but only because they don't have a traditional Mike. Not even close. Now, maybe Tyron Hopper can become that someday. But right now, they don't trust him enough to even put him on the field. So, yeah, as far as, like, guys playing, quote, out of position, I mean, yeah, sometimes they experiment. Sometimes they'll look at things. But they do that after doing a lot of work in both, you know, the practice room, the practice and the study rooms, the meeting rooms and things like that. Breaking down the tape, seeing what they're good at, seeing where they're struggling. It's not something that's done willy-nilly. Now, oftentimes, if you see a guy, like, shout out Alex Magoo, who's back in the building as a practice squad wide receiver. A lot of times when the guy has been in the room or in the building for a while and then switches positions, like, yeah, then that's a sign that it's probably over. That's kind of a last gasp. Like, let's see if we can get something out of this. But yeah, guys are going to play all over. That's kind of the modern NFL, especially under LaFleur. They've done a lot of cross training, as Brian likes to say. They want guys who are versatile and they try to utilize that ability. Let's see. John, thanks again, man. Wicked review, as good as it seems, Random Packer, Frank Zombo. It was excellent. I will say, I said to my daughter as soon as we left last night, that's going to make $1 billion. It is a perfect popular entertainment. And I think the people who love it, and I'm not saying it's going to be for everybody, but the people who love it are going to see it a lot. It is really fun. It is so well done. And the two leads are fucking incredible. Highly recommended if you got kids, if you want a family movie, outstanding stuff. But there's enough there that you don't need kids to see it. I mean, it's so great how rooted in the original film it is. Look, you don't need to be a Broadway person. You don't need to be a fan of the musical to enjoy it. It's tons of fun. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. Grant B, what's going on, man? Past two QBs had games that changed the fortunes of that era. Favre was 1994 versus Atlanta. Rodgers was 2009 versus the Cowboys. This has that type of feel. Woo, that's lofty stuff. Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is there. But that's all it is an opportunity. Jordan Love has to take advantage of it. But yes, I agree. There is a good chance that this could be a fulcrum that his and the Packers' fortune swings upon. Now, that's lofty stuff, right? You got to dig down and do it. But there's the opportunity. Again, the opportunity, Grant, I agree, is definitely there. G. David, what's up, man? How optimistic or pessimistic are you about our pass rush improving? On paper, I like Gary and LVN. Can't put my finger on what's missing. With LVN, it's a move. Any move. A move would be great. Optimistic or pessimistic about the pass rush improving as a whole? probably pretty pessimistic. I do think we've seen Rashawn really start to come to life here the last two or three games. He's really seemingly gone back to leaning into his power rather than trying to speed rush around guys, tackles that he really hasn't found a whole ton of success with. But yeah, you talk about overall, I think we're going to have games where, yeah, you would think there'll be opportunities with certain quarterbacks and offensive lines and offensive systems that Halfley will be able to take advantage, either with numbers or with simulated pressures and things of that nature. But I don't see it suddenly turning on just because the guys discover something or get magically better. I mean, we saw, obviously, Brent Cox Jr. got involved, and that was nice, although both of his big plays were because he was unblocked. If you just keep that up, we'll be all right, you know? But I will say, one component of that game that I think people maybe either miss or forgot, you know, the Bears lived in third and short in that game. There were no clear and obvious passing situations until the end when they desperately needed to push the ball down the field to try and get into range for a field goal. And the Packers got two sacks right off the bat. They did a great job of maintaining their rush lanes. Gary does a great job of powering through that tackle and closing the pocket, forcing Williams to step up into the loving arms of TJ Slayton. Next snap, Gary does it again and grabs the quarterback, puts him on the ground. And the next snap, they should have won the game. If Kingsley and Igbari actually just wraps up the quarterback rather than, I don't know, playing WWE. But, you know, so it was like when it finally got into a obvious passing situation, a very, you know, first and 10, but they've got to throw it and he's going to have to throw it down the field. They got some pressure with four, and that's good to see. Now, can they keep that up against the 49ers and Trent Williams and company? I am not optimistic. Let's just say that. Ryan, thanks again, man. I'll love seeing Lynn Dickey's number retired. Well played. Well played. I will say, though, shout out to Rodgers because he always appreciated Lynn Dickey. Like, he knew he had his number, and he knew that Lynn Dickey was a very good, productive quarterback in his time in Green Bay. So I talked to him about it a few times, and I really appreciated that he appreciated Lynn Dickey. That was always awesome. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.